Hello and welcome to this podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. My name is John Bryan, and coming up in this episode, I'll be speaking to Jonathan Sahar. Jonathan is an associate professor in the Department of History at the University of Durham. He specialises in South Asian history, and his research is focused on the history of British imperialism in Myanmar during the 19th and 20th centuries. Now, it probably hasn't escaped your notice that there has been a growing crisis in Myanmar over the last few months. And I asked Jonathan about the situation there to give us a little bit of detail of the history, as well as to talk about the sorts of things that UCU members in colleges and in universities can do to support the resistance movement in Myanmar.
So on the 1st of February, the military in Myanmar staged a coup, overturning the results of a credible election which had been held in November of 2020. The result of that has been a massive widespread civil disobedience campaign to try and reinstate democracy. The campaign has been perhaps the broadest civil disobedience movement that Myanmar has ever seen, bringing together a diversity of different ethnic groups, as well as people marginalised in Burmese society on the basis of gender or sexuality and religion, and has had a huge backing from workers in all sorts of different areas. There have been strikes run from the start of March that still continue to today when they've attended demonstrations. Many of those who've been in government employment have been evicted from their houses for participating in the strikes. And in the ethnic minority areas, there have been, particularly in Karen State and Kachin areas, which are two ethnic minority groups in Myanmar, there have been aerial bombardments as the military have tried to reassert their authority in those areas. As at present, over 700 people have been killed in the uprising, and several thousand have been arrested and detained. Included in those who've been arrested and detained are a large proportion of students and education workers who have been at the forefront of this movement, particularly in the cities.
And I notice on your Twitter timeline that you often use the hashtag What's Happening in Myanmar. And for those people who are interested in following you on Twitter, it's Jonathan_Sahar. But I notice that you often draw attention to the amount of people who are detained, the amount of people who have had arrest warrants issued in their name. Is there anyone in particular that you want to draw our attention to here?
So one of the people I would want to draw particular attention to here is a man called Professor Arkar Mothu, who was arrested on the 2nd of March at gunpoint at Yangon University, who was a professor and leader of the education union in University of Yangon. He was not been released yet, and is just one of a number of academics and other university workers who have been arrested and detained since the coup began.
And I noticed there does seem to have been quite a lot of activity around universities. I mean, is that mainly students or is it university workers as well? Or is it kind of a mixture of both?
It is a mixture of both. It is a mixture of both. Certainly the student unions have long been a source of dissent and progressive politics in Myanmar. But the university staff as well, as most civil servants and people employed by the state, have also opposed this coup and have come out against it and withdrawn their labour in order to try and bring this regime down. And so it is it's across students and faculty. And I think it's one of the reasons why our
trade union is important
in terms of what we can offer in terms of extending solidarity to education workers out there, because it is, there can be very few circumstances where education workers have faced such a manifestly terrible regime in such numbers, and to be part of a general strike which is now, you know, heading into its second month in with such resolution.
I mean, you work at Durham University, and the UCU branch at Durham University recently passed a motion and released a statement around the coup. I mean, is that something that, you know, was well received by members at UCU at Durham University?
Yes, it was. It was. I think one of the difficulties that Myanmar has in terms of the public imagination is that, you know, for so long it was closed off from the rest of the world through a military regime that was very isolationist. But, you know, since the late noughties, and certainly over the last 10 years, it has become more of a place where people have interacted with. Universities have been supporting the establishment of higher education and further education in Myanmar. And those connections have started to build, but they've still not been particularly extensive or deep in UK universities. And so I think once you're able to find out what's happening there, and some of the connections which we do have in the UK with Myanmar, I think there is a groundswell of sympathy. And the strike which is going on is really an inspiration, I think, for trade unionists around the world when facing the type of regime which they are facing. And one of the things which we were able to get through with the motion is to encourage members to support strike funds which have been established to get resources and money and basic items like food through to people who are participating in this general strike. One of the connections which I would want to sort of flag up for UCU is the level of UK investment in businesses that profit from their ties with the military. And this wasn't in the motion, except to encourage institutions to audit their own connections, financial and otherwise, that may link them to the military. But the university's superannuation scheme, USS, which many of UCU members are members of, does invest heavily in a number of companies and corporations that do prop up the military and work directly with military-run organizations. Some of the most prominent of those are oil and gas companies, Chevron, Total, and the Royal Dutch Shell. But there are other companies as well that we're investing in. And I think it may only be a small part of USS's overall investment portfolio, and only, you know, a tiny fraction of people's salaries that would find their way into military coffers. But on the opposite side of that, to the military, those types of connections, that type of revenue stream, is vital for them surviving this. In the context in which the EU in particular is being slow in enacting sanctions and really isolating the military, this type of divestment is essential to as one activist called it, bringing down the military with 1,000 cuts, really cutting off that dependence that it has on the small number of foreign investment that it's able to, you know, enrich itself and survive through, because it is being starved by the general strike and surviving parasitically off foreign companies like Chevron and Total and Shell.
Okay, so Durham University UCU, the statement also says that trying to get people to do what they can to support our Burmese students and colleagues in the UK. So what sort of things can people do to offer that sort of support?
So Burmese students and any staff which are also in the UK may be facing fears about being forced to return to Myanmar after their visas expire. In the US, in South Korea and Australia, they have offered automatic visa extensions to Burmese nationals in those countries. The UK Home Office has not done that. And so I think there's two things. One is it's important for us to try and lobby the Home Office to act proactively for this small but vulnerable population in the UK if they were to return to Myanmar. And the second is for our institutions to get ahead of these problems and offer support for Burmese students and staff whose visas may be coming to an end, in order to make sure that they have appropriate immigration advice, appropriate support for extending studies, for instance, or potentially even making asylum claims. So that's sort of immediate things we can do for our students and staff in the UK. There are also a number of students that are registered to UK universities or have offers at UK universities who are still in Myanmar. I mean, particularly because of the restrictions on movement because of COVID. And those students find it almost impossible now to actually get their visas to come over to the UK. And there are things which can be done to make that route a bit easier. One is a softer touch approach to the English proficiency requirements, which is not to waive them necessarily, but to allow them to take them later or take them in different places prior to taking up their places within the UK, and to support them being able to come into the country sooner. One of the things which students are finding it difficult to do is do the biometric tests that are needed in order to get your visa to come over to the UK. It's impossible to do that in Yangon, large parts of which are now effectively under martial law, and which is cut off from large parts of the rest of the country. But they may be able to find a way over into Thailand to be able to do that stuff, but then not want to return into Myanmar after that. So it's adding more flexibility into that, offering places at things like summer schools so that students could come to the UK earlier and not have to return to Myanmar having got their visas in Thailand. So there's lots of little practical things like that that would actually have a huge impact on individuals' lives and abilities to come and take up their studies.
I mean, one of the things that people will often ask is, what can they do? And I think you've actually, you know, spelt out quite a number of things that people can do to help. I guess one of the things that we also get asked is where can people kind of find out more information? Because some of the things that you've talked about in this podcast, people may not have heard before. So if you were recommending people to find out more information, what sources of information would you be recommending to them?
The place which I would recommend people go to is a independent news outlet with lots of Burmese journalists working for, called Myanmar Now. It operates out of Australia, but is very well connected within Myanmar itself. And it's a very well trusted amongst Burmese activists. The reason for this is, well, since the military coup, there's been increasing restrictions on internet. So initially they started to limit phone internet access. After that, they started to limit Wi-Fi connections down to routers. And then more recently, there's been more comprehensive blackouts in large parts of the country. Hand in hand with that, there has been a closing down of independent media outlets within Myanmar itself. And so whereas a few months ago I would have perhaps given you a longer list of places to go to, increasingly that's getting more and more restricted. Myanmar now is a very reliable but also very responsive place to get news that's coming out of Myanmar. And so that's what I would probably recommend people go to.
That's great. Thanks very much, Jonathan, and thanks very much for coming to talk to us.
No, it's a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks very much for listening into this episode of the podcast. We do hope that you've enjoyed this interview with Jonathan. Don't forget that you can find him on Twitter, Jonathan_Sahan. That's JONATHAN_S_SHA, A for Alpha, H for Harry, A for Alpha. And you can also find UCU at Durham University on Twitter, and you can find the statement that they released at the time. You can follow them, UCU AT Durham. Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe, like or favorite, or even leave us a review, and please share this podcast so that more people get to listen to what we've got to say. And if you're not a member of UCU and you want to join, it's ucu.org.uk/join. Thanks for listening.